day, man. This is a very, very big day in Philadelphia here. Isaiah Rodgers, he is now officially reinstated and is able to work out with Philadelphia and be able to play this upcoming season. A very, very big update in, you know, prior to what the NFL draft is going to bring forth on Thursday night. And I am in the belief that this reinstatement officially changes the scope of the Philadelphia Eagles draft and potentially the NFL draft. Okay. This pick at 22, for the longest time, I thought, you know, we would be addressing the defensive side of the ball. And then the reports came out saying that Philadelphia really likes the offensive lineman in this draft. They may look at offensive tackle, maybe interior offensive lineman at 22, and then address some of the defensive woes later on in the draft. But with Isaiah Rodgers not being reinstated at the time, the need for cornerback became very, very apparent. And now that he's reinstated, 22 becomes a pick where Philadelphia is very, very flexible now with what we could do in the draft. I believe we are going to go offensive tackle. I know, much to the chagrin of a lot of people and a lot of Eagle fans, you know, on the internet and in the universe out there, they don't want us to take an offensive lineman who's not going to start for us immediately. And I get that point. I totally, totally get it. However, let me just say this. If they really believe in a guy like Jeff Stoutland as much as they do, as you should, you want to say, like, okay, you could take a third, fourth, fifth round lineman and have him develop into a starting caliber player and then put him on the offensive line and still be good while getting a defensive player who can make an impact for you. Yes, that is true. And that's a valid, valid reasoning as to why you don't need to take an offensive lineman at 22. But now here's my thought process officially, because Isaiah Rodgers being reinstated changes the complexion of the Philadelphia Eagles draft. And especially in a year where the NFL is, you know, doing different things with the kickoff, having a special teamer who could be a return man, who could be really be dynamic with the ball in their hands, plays a little bit more of an important role on your day-to-day operations on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon or Monday, wherever it is you're playing. Return game becomes an important factor here. And Isaiah Rodgers, remember, has not played football in about a year and a half now, right? So what better way to get a guy in football shape than just to have him play return man, be around football for a year, and then hopefully next year, while he's still, what, 26, 27 years old, be able to step in at corner and actually cover once again, right? Taking the time to look at the landscape for Philadelphia and see, okay, we have Ringo, we have Ricks, we got Bradberry and Slay, and Avante Maddox on top of that. Can we survive 1 year of cornerback play if we believe Kelee Ringo is going to take a step up? If Eli Ricks is going to take a step up, Darius Slay should be healthier. He still played well last season. You now have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at safety. Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown are coming back once again. And you address some of the woes on the front seven with, you know, the acquisitions of Devin White, Bryce Huff. Yes, you traded Hassan Reddick, but you believe in Nolan Smith to come in and play some good football. So you look at this defense and you have to think to yourself, at 22, does it make sense for Philadelphia to go ahead and get a corner when Isaiah Rodgers has been reinstated back into the fray here? To me, his reinstatement almost guarantees that Philadelphia does not take a cornerback at 22. That's really what I believe. That's what I believe now, because I believe they really like Kelee Ringo. I believe they like Eli Ricks. They like Slay, obviously. Bradberry, they hope, can have a bounce back year because you can't play much worse. And they believe in Isaiah Rodgers. Otherwise, they wouldn't have traded for him last offseason, right? So, 22 becomes an interesting pick. Who should Philadelphia take at number 22 in this 2024 NFL draft? Let's break it down. But before we get into all that, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Asif Badi. This is the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast, where we talk about nothing but the birds. in the midnight green. And forgive me right now, I am a little bit under the weather. I'm not feeling super, super great. But once the news broke that Isaiah Rodgers was being reinstated back into the Philadelphia Eagles, I needed to make an episode. And again, his reinstatement changes what we do in the draft. And maybe, just maybe, because we don't need a corner at 22, like I said, Philadelphia has one of two plays that they can go for. They can just take an offensive tackle at 22, which, again, I wouldn't be super, super upset by. I know people feel angry about that, and they're like, why would you not get a defender? Well, you know what? I would rather get a raw, athletic, top prospect at offensive line and have him coached under Stoutland as opposed to taking a flyer of some guy later in the rounds of the draft, like in the third or fourth round, and have to wait more time than needed to make sure this guy can play. Okay, we have Tyler Steen. We did that last year. He looked pretty good, yes, but he still needs the reps, and most likely he's going to have to eventually play guard for us. Cam Jurgens is sliding to center, right? Lane Johnson's got, what, 2 to 3 more years left? And then at that point, you're going to sit there and wonder, well, damn, why don't we have offensive linemen? Might as well get one now. Have him be coached up under Stoutland, and by the time Lane Johnson leaves and retires from football, you got a starting caliber tackle who is a first-round prospect, who has the ability and the physical tools to go ahead and step in and make impact from Stoutland University, right? Especially a guy like Tyler Guyton, Troy Fotuanu. Any of those guys at 22 would be nice, although I think Troy Fotuanu may not be there because Seattle might take him, which brings me to my next suggestion here. Or one of my next two suggestions. Trading up or back in the draft. That's a possibility now with Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles, now that Isaiah Rodgers is back in the fray. Because now cornerback is basically casted aside. You don't necessarily need to worry about that into the later rounds of the draft, because you can get a guy like Max Felton or Max Melton from Rutgers University, a cornerback, at the top of the second round. If you really wanted to trade up there, you could do that and get a quality player. But at 22... Philadelphia can do one of two things. You could trade up to where Indianapolis is at 15, right in front of Seattle, and get a guy, get a tackle that you really like Troy Fotuanu, right? Because that seems to be the guy that people believe Philadelphia would trade up in the draft for. If you make that trade, you most assuredly have to get one of two players, whether that's the offensive tackle or Quinyon Mitchell. Now, I don't know if Quinyon Mitchell is going to be there, but to me, it just means that Philadelphia is just going to go offensive tackle if you're trading up, because I think a lot of the pre-draft meetings that they've had with some of the rookie prospects that visited the NovaCare Complex, I don't know, maybe a third of them have been offensive linemen, right? So, and if you looked at some of the drafts in years prior, I think a lot of the picks that Philadelphia has made, like four of their top five picks a couple of years ago, or even last year, were guys that they brought into the NovaCare Complex. So, I mean, that seems like an obvious statement, but again, like, if your first four picks are like some of your top visits from your pre-draft, you know, scouting reports and your due diligence, you know, it just means that, like, hey, you know exactly what you're looking for in the draft. You don't need to see any other player. You don't need to take a chance on people. You know exactly what you're looking for. Philadelphia is looking for an offensive lineman. That's basically what I'm telling you guys. Based on the pre-draft meetings, they're looking for a Lane Johnson replacement down the road. And with Kelsey being gone this year, Cam Jurgens stepping into the fray at center, you believe Tyler Steen is going to probably play right guard. And again, another year of development, getting him reps. And then Lane Johnson has talked about retirement in the past. He's got another 2 or 3 years, like I said. Jumping up in the draft right before Seattle to take a tackle like Fotuanu, that's something that I probably would start to consider more and more now that Isaiah Rodgers is back. However, the other suggestion that I would probably think about is actually falling back, trading back later into the first round. So you could maybe trade with a team like Buffalo, who wants a quality wide receiver. You could maybe trade with a team, later in the draft, like Green Bay or something, if they really wanted to get a high quality defender. But teams like San Francisco, Kansas City. Those type of teams are going to look for offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen. Philadelphia could be in a position to not only trade back in the draft, acquire more picks for moving up potentially in the second round, but also get offensive linemen developed under Jeff Stoutland, which everyone seems, you know, not that everyone seems, everybody understands who Stoutland University is, and if he's that damn good, which he is, you could take a lineman later in the draft, later in the first round, have him develop there, and now all of a sudden you've addressed multiple needs. You get more picks, you get the lineman that you're looking for with the development under Stoutland, and you also hurt teams who you're going to most likely directly have to go through in order to achieve the ultimate goal, which is a Lombardi Trophy. If mock drafts are true and San Francisco wants to take a center and Kansas City may want to go offensive tackle or even wide receiver, again, I've seen mock drafts where Kansas City goes for offensive linemen. But even if it's just San Francisco, for example, if you go ahead and take an interior lineman, an offensive tackle later in the first round, you hurt San Francisco. You get more picks just because you traded back and accumulated more assets. And now in the second round of the NFL draft, you could go ahead, use 53 and maybe a later pick that you get from a team like Buffalo or Detroit or something like that. Trade up, get a cornerback like Melton, get a linebacker like Cooper or Peyton Wilson, get a safety like Javon Bullard. There's many, many ways now that you can go in the draft. If you decide, hey, we're definitely going to go offensive lineman in the first round, and if so, your best bet, in my opinion, is either to get Fotuanu by trading up and get the sure bet, or if you trust Stoutland the way I think everybody does, trade back later to 28, pick 29, wherever that number is, right before San Francisco and right before Kansas City, and take an offensive lineman with that pick while accumulating more assets later on in the draft. Because listen, these top 3-4 rounds, they're really, really deep in terms of talent. You could build a quality football team with a lot of defensive talent here in the back part of the draft. So that would be my game plan if I'm Howie Roseman. Take 22, trade it back, take an offensive lineman on the back end of the first round, and then use your second round assets to either move up and get a linebacker like Cooper, like Peyton Wilson, or you stay pat, see who's the best player available, get a guy like a Javon Bullard, the safety, who is a no-brainer. He gives me Brian Branch vibes. He really, really does. I love his film. He's explosive, gets after the ball. And again, because Howie Roseman really likes to do this, he is a Georgia Bulldog after all, right? So, you know, it's a player and a concept that he... I shouldn't say concept. It's players that he's looked at before in the past and even now. You know, Howie Roseman's looking at SEC teams. He's looking at big-time football programs. He's looking at Georgia Bulldogs. He probably knows a lot about Javon Bullard and is probably going to draft him maybe in the second round. At least I hope he does. But that's my game plan. That's what I would do if I'm Philadelphia. Isaiah Rodgers completely changes the math for this Philadelphia Eagles draft, because now Philadelphia trades back, and then all of a sudden the back end of the first round here becomes really, really interesting, because now San Francisco is going to be pressed to go ahead and get some linemen. Kansas City, if they are really looking at offensive tackle and offensive linemen, they may be pressed to try to move up in the draft and see if they can secure offensive linemen. Buffalo gets a wide receiver probably if we trade back with them at 22, so it's not going to affect your draft stock in terms of getting offensive linemen. Minnesota, they may trade up in the draft to get a quarterback. Who knows? Dallas may try to get an offensive tackle. And again, they may do something weird like draft Nazi Smith like they did a few years ago and get somebody like, you know, a wide receiver that maybe they don't necessarily need. But point being is, this draft opens up in Philadelphia. That's the main point of this episode. Isaiah Rodgers completely changes the math for the Philadelphia Eagles NFL draft. Now the question becomes, what should Howie Roseman do? Hopefully, it's something really good on Thursday night. Hey, you got through a full episode of the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thank you for watching. If you want to support the channel, hit the like and subscribe button below. You can also check us out on Instagram at the Riding the Bench Podcast with a K instead of C in the word podcast. And also check us out on audio platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're on there. All that is in the description below. Please come back next time for the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thanks for listening.